Our lesson this morning is entitled, It's Never Too Early to Start. Never Too Early to Start. We usually, on these fourth Sundays when we're having our youth devotional, we usually have a topic related to the youth. And while this topic certainly does relate to youth, it relates to all of us. A lot of times people will make statements like, well, it's not too late to start, or it's never too late to start. Well, the fact of the matter is, sometimes it can be too late to start. But it is never too early to start. As soon as we know of something that needs to be done, we need to do it. The scripture that was read from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us that we should remember our Creator in the days of our youth. You see, if we remember our Creator in the days of our youth, it makes it a whole lot easier when we get old. If we wait until we get old to start trying to remember our Creator, we may not be able to remember anymore. That happens with old age. We need to start as early as possible. That's why we encourage so strongly our young couples that have young children. Bring those kids. Make sure they get here. Even if you've got to work, make sure grandma or one of the other members of the congregation brings those children to Bible class and brings them so they can start early learning about Jesus and learning about the church and about the Bible. Because when they're young, they love it. They love to go to Bible class. You see some of these kids running to get to Bible class. Now, on the other hand, parents don't usually think too much about sending the kids to church until they start becoming troublemakers. When they become 9, 10, 12 years old, start being teenagers, and then they start thinking, oh, that boy needs to go to church, or that girl, I need to send her to Bible class. It's too late then, because then they don't want to go. There was a poem, and I don't have a copy of the poem, but I recall hearing it, and so we're going to paraphrase it. It won't be a poem. But basically, the child asked Daddy, Daddy, are we going to church today? And Daddy said, well, you go on to church, but I've got something else I have to do. And the next time around, Daddy, are we going to church today? Well, I'll send you, but I was up late last night. And then the next time, well, are we going to church? Well, I would, but I'm tired and I need to go fishing. I got to rest. And so on and on and on. And then, when Daddy gets older and retired and starts thinking about the end of his life coming, he says, well, come on, daughter, let's go to church. And the daughter says, I'm sorry, Daddy, I'm too busy. I don't have time. It's very similar, I think, to the song, Cast in the Cradle. If you've ever heard that song, it talks about how he never had time for the child when the child was young. And then when he got older and wanted to have time and make time for a relationship with that child, it was too late. The same thing is true with our relationship with God. Once we have formed a close relationship with the devil, it's hard to find room for God in our lives. On the other hand, if we will start young and form a relationship with God, then there won't be the room for the devil in our lives. We need to learn how important it is to form the right relationship early on. We're going to look at four things, and certainly there are a lot more, but we're going to look at four things that it's never too early to start. First of all, it's never too early to start giving. Now, we don't generally press children. I remember, I know when I was young, there were churches would have vacation Bible schools, and the kids would go, and they'd pass the collection plate around to the kids, want the kids to give money for their churches and things like that. And, that's just not the way we didn't try to solicit money from visitors' kids when they came to church. But it's never too early to start learning and training in the area of giving. Some people, I've even heard in the church say, well, my child doesn't give because that's part of the worship, just like they don't take the Lord's Supper. Well, there's a difference in those two things. The Lord's Supper is for baptized believers. But giving is a pattern that needs to be develop in the young person. Young people can learn to give and should. They should be encouraged to give. A lot of times young people want to give. You see them, they'll give one of their toys to somebody. And they don't always realize that when they give that toy, they expect in a couple minutes to get it back. They don't realize that when you give something, you give it. And you don't take it back. We used to have little rules when we were kids. No take backs now. No take back. Once you give it, you've given it. You can't turn around and change your mind. But young people do love to give, and they need to be encouraged to give, and they need to be taught about giving. They may not understand all of the biblical principles about giving, but they can understand some of the principles involved. They can understand that their money goes to help. We support many mission works here. And you can get pictures. We've got the newsletters of those mission works and different things. I know one of the classes when we were supporting Brother G over in the school in Africa, one of the classes sent him some emails and some letters that they had written. And he sent back some pictures and a letter to them about the work over there and about the country that he was living in. But when children see, this is what the money does. And he tells other people about Jesus. And maybe some churches support, the printing of Bibles or tracts to send to foreign lands in their own language and things like that. That when the child can see this money is being used to help somebody, it's being used for good, then they're more likely to understand more about it and want to do it even more. In John chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, we see one young fellow that was ready and willing to give and to share what he had. In verse 5, Jesus then lifted up his eye and saw a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now 200 pennyworth would be about 8 months' wages. So he's basically saying 8 months' pay wouldn't be enough to even give everybody a little bit. You're talking about 5,000 folks here. Imagine how much it would cost to feed 5,000 folks. I'm sure it would take 8 months' wages to feed that many people a meal. But then Philip, and that's what Philip said. He said, we can't, there's no way. We don't have anywhere near that kind of money. In verse 8, though, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? You gotta wonder why Andrew even brought that up. People, 5,000 folks, well, here's 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fish. 5,000 folks. Each one of them could have 1/1000th of a loaf of bread. That's not much. They could each have a crumb, I suppose. And that's what Andrew says, but what are they among so many? But notice that this young lad, this young boy, was ready and willing to bring what probably was his lunch. He had 5 little loaves of bread. Now we think of a loaf of bread. He had 5 little biscuits, basically. Little bitty pieces of bread that he had probably for his own lunch. And 2 small fish. That's probably what he was going to eat on. He probably may have even taken the bread out with him to go fishing and may have caught those 2 small fish. But here we have this young willing to share what he had. And Andrew brings him to Jesus and says, well, Jesus, here's this little fellow. He's got a little bit of food that he's willing to share. It's never too early to start giving. To be willing to share and to give to others. There are many people who perhaps have been Christians for years, but still have never started giving. it's not too early to start. Start today. Giving is the way that Jesus ordained for his church to raise money. The church doesn't have potluck suppers where they sell plates. They don't have raffles where they raffle off televisions or cars or any manner of other things. They don't sell cakes and pie. They don't have dances or bingo. Now, there are a lot of religious groups that do that, but that's not authorized in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures, we are taught, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, let every one of you lay by him in store on the first day of the week. Everyone that's a member of the congregation is to give, and it's never too early to start. If you haven't been doing that, you need to start. God gave first. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You can never pay him back for that. But you can give. And it's a good thing to start that training early. I can recall on Sundays, my dad always would give me a little something. It might have been a quarter or a nickel or whatever. He always gave me a little something for me to put into play. As I got older then and I had jobs of my own, I never had an allowance like a lot of kids nowadays do. But he would give me a little bit to put in the plate, and you know, and sometimes we'd go to the store and he'd give me a little something to buy something at the store. But I didn't have a set allowance like many kids today do. If a kid has an allowance, teach them with that allowance. They need to save some of it. They have some of it that they can spend, and then they have some of it that goes to the church. Those are basically the three things that you do with money. You either save it, spend it, or give it. Otherwise, you just waste it. If you don't get one of those three things, you've got to have a purpose for that money. And it'll go further if you have a plan for it. But I remember that then when I got a job, I was taught that when I had that job, when I got mowed a yard and somebody gave me $10, well, then I gave $1. It just came so natural because I had been trained all the way coming up that that's what you do. You give some of that money to the church. Of course, I started with 10%. A lot of people stick with that because that was the Old Testament tithe. They give the 10%. Well, that's a good starting place. But as we grow as Christians, we ought to be able to give even more than that. We have a better covenant based on better promises. We ought to be willing to give accordingly. But then the second thing, it's never too early to start going to worship. It's never too early to start going to worship. Again, a lot of times people with babies and little children, and that, the children cause such a fuss. And so sometimes even parents will come to church, but they'll leave the kids with grandma. Or they'll leave them somewhere else so they don't cause a disturbance. So they don't cause trouble at church. And you have that encouraged by the fact that there are some people who will complain, well, their children back there were making such a racket. They were talking or they were playing or... Now, we understand the importance of training those children to be quiet. But if we discourage the parents from bringing those children aren't going to learn. It's going to take time for those children to learn how to sit and be quiet and listen and be a part of the worship. I've heard little children sing, and they rarely sing on key. And sometimes they don't even sing the right words, and they often don't sing at the same time with everybody else. And I've heard parents say, shh, don't you be doing that. We're going to discourage a child from making a joyful noise to the Lord. We're going to discourage them from singing. No, we need to encourage them to sing. Encourage them to sing out, even if they don't know all the words. Maybe they only know two of the words in the song. We sang, No, Not One, a little while ago. Well, now, Xander doesn't know all the words to that song, but he can sing No, Not One when we get to that part. He may not know the rest of the verse, but he can sing No, Not One. and little ones, even littler than him, can learn a little section like that that's repeated. And that helps train them to, in the singing. But it's not too early for us to start going to worship either. Sometimes we have neglected it for such a period of time that we forget that it is something so very important. There's an article in the bulletin this morning about people who were asked why they go to church. Only 13%, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, 13% said that they went to worship God. Well, that means the other 87% will waste everybody's time to be in there. The reason that we come is to worship God. That's why we're here. Now, children need to learn that. Sometimes it takes them a while to learn that. Xander thinks he comes to play in the playroom sometimes. We have to remind him, we're here to sing and study God's Word and pray. And then, after we get done worshiping God, if there's time, then you can play and fellowship with your little friend. But that's something that we need to work on. Going to worship is something that we should look forward to, not something that should be dreaded. In Psalm 122 and verse 1, David said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Come, let us go to the house of the Lord.'" I was glad. A lot of times we have folks who, when somebody says, "Come on, let's go to church," they say, "Ugh. Is it already Sunday coming around again? Seems like we have to go to church all the time." We need to be glad when we have an opportunity to go and worship God. In Acts chapter 20, verses 6 and 7, we see Paul had sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and they came unto Troas in 5 days. That means they arrived on a Monday, which means they were traveling over Sunday. They didn't get to meet with the saints on that Sunday, that first day of the week. It says there, they came to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now why did they abide 7 days? Notice what he says in verse 7. "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Well, why didn't they leave Saturday? Why didn't they leave Sunday? Well, they were there 7 days. They waited, and waited to leave until after they could meet with the saints. They could have left earlier, but they had already been traveling the week before. They wanted to meet with the saints. Now, there were some saints with Paul, and no doubt they worshipped God on that ship on the first day of the week before. But they couldn't get to a congregation of the Lord's church. They were out on the ocean. They waited 7 days there at Troas so that they could be there on the first day of the week to break bread with the saints and to have fellowship with them as well afterwards. They stayed in. Paul preached till midnight, and then after that, of course, Eutychus falls out of the window and Paul brings him back to life. And then they came back up and they ate, and they talked a long while. They stayed up all night long. Paul had to leave that morning. They had some fellowship after they finished worshiping. But you see how important it was to them that they stayed that whole week, 7 days, so that they could be there to be with the saints. That's important. Sometimes we're traveling. Sometimes we may be traveling in a place where there isn't a Church of Christ. So we may be in a situation where, you know, we're on a plane or something and it just can't be with the saints. But if we're traveling over a Sunday and we're going through towns, we have a book that lets us know where the saints are meeting, where the Churches of Christ in the United States are. We can look it up and make plans to attend. Do you know how glad we are when we have visitors from out of town? We love them, and we're so glad to see them. I know we used to have a fellow and his son used to come hunting a lot. Haven't seen them in several years. I don't know if they quit hunting this area or what, but we haven't seen them in a long time. But boy, we're glad to see them come. When we have brothers and sisters from a long way off that come and visit, I know we'll have Diane Ray and her family comes sometimes, and they'll come, and they're always so glad to see them again. And we have others that we've never even met that come and visit from other places. And we want to know how's the church doing there. It's exciting. I think how much, too, when we're traveling. Other congregations would like to have us there to see that, well, there's a church way over there in Butler, Alabama. And wow, you know, here's somebody that's coming to visit us. How encouraging that is. I recall stopping at one place on a Sunday night when we were traveling. I don't even remember where it was, but there couldn't have been more than about 15 people there. And my mother and I don't remember who else was with us, but, you know, three or four of us together there were traveling, and we stopped at that place, and, you know, there was maybe 15 to 20 counting us. Oh, they were so glad that we had stopped. They were so glad to have us there to see us. And they just wanted to talk to us forever about how things were going. There is just something about worshiping with other Christians and about getting to meet new brothers and sisters in Christ that you didn't know you had before, that you never met before. There's something exciting about that. And we need to be excited to have that opportunity. We need to start going to worship every opportunity that we have. Let's move along. We got started late. We need to move along quickly. And we have a long day today. Number three, it's never too early to start studying God's Word. It's never too early. Even a little child can memorize little short Bible verses like Jesus wept, like don't stop praying. Pray without Jesus. Some of those little words, you may have to paraphrase them a little bit so that the child can understand what it means. But they can memorize some of those verses, and they can learn some of those things. Read them Bible stories from a book. Those kinds of things. And then, as they grow older, and we have Bible class left, we as adults sometimes don't do our class left. And our children sometimes don't do their class lesson. What kind of habits are we teaching them regarding the study of God's Word? Do they see us studying God's Word? They need to. Do we teach them that it's important to do your class lesson, to study God's Word? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul talks about the Holy Scriptures that Timothy had known from the time he was a child. He had known the Scriptures from the time he was a child. It's a whole lot easier to ingrain the morals and the virtues and the doctrines of the Bible into a child's mind than it is to ingrain them into an adult's mind. Children are like sponges. They soak up knowledge. They can remember things that you'd never imagine they could remember. They know these things. They love to find out new things. That's why they're always asking questions sometimes when they ask, oh, hush, quit asking all those questions. No, that's how they learn. If they don't ask questions, they're not going to learn anything. Answer those questions whenever you can and do it in a way to help them understand. Josiah is another good example. Here he was, a young king, and they found the scroll of the law in the temple. And they brought it to him, and they read it to him. A lot of the kings, when God's word was preached to them or taught to them, they wouldn't listen. One king in particular took Jeremiah's words that he had written on a scroll and cut them up and threw them in the fire. But Josiah listened to God's words. And when he heard how the people, what the people were supposed to be doing, and realized how far off track they were, he wept, he ripped his garment, he begged for a prophet to go to the Lord for him and to ask what was to become of the people because of these things that they had done. And Josiah then reformed the country. He tore down the idols, and he fixed up the temple, and he began to worship God again as he was supposed to worship God. it's never too early to start. Never too early to start. Even little bitty children that can't talk yet, they can listen. And they can still understand this must be important. They keep telling me this same stuff, it must be important. And they'll understand some of those things. And then, of course, we see it's never too early to start telling others about Jesus. There was a servant that Naaman had, a slave girl, in fact, who had been captured from the Jews. 2 Kings 5, 2 and 3, Naaman, who had leprosy, was told by his wife about this little girl who had mentioned that there was a prophet in Samaria that could heal Naaman of his leprosy. She knew about the power of God. She knew about the prophet that could help heal this man. Now you would think that a young girl who had been possibly taken away from her family and taken away from her freedom and put into slavery, you'd think she might be resentful of those folks. And that she might hate them, and she might even hope that fella died for doing all the bad things that he'd done to her. But this little girl knew that it was more important to tell people about God than it was to hold a grudge against somebody for what they had done. And she told even this fella who was, in essence, her enemy. He was her master, slave master. And yet she told him how he could be healed with his leprosy. And because of that, he went, found Elisha, he was healed of his leprosy, and he believed then in God. No matter how young we are, no matter how long it's been that we haven't been telling others about Jesus, about God, it's not too early to start. Start today. Maybe there's somebody that is in your own household that you need to tell about. Maybe you need to tell yourself a little bit about it. Maybe you need to study God's Word. Maybe you need to have somebody else tell you about it. Maybe you have a friend or neighbor or relative that you need to tell about Jesus. It's never too early to start. If you haven't started doing these things, you need to start today. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or if you're 105 years old. You need to start today. Today is the day of salvation. Too many times, young people or even middle-aged people, even elderly people, will say, well, I'll start doing that tomorrow, or I'll start doing that next week. We will never start doing something tomorrow. Everything that we have ever started doing, we did on a day called today. We have never done anything on a tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Next week never rolls around. We must start today. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, for whatever reason, I ask that you do so as you stand.